We're on a mission from God.
And now for something completely different.
This is Pastor John McComsky from St. Paul's Lutheran Church in New Athens, Illinois, and Trinity Lutheran Church in Darmstadt. I don't think anybody knows we're here, do they, Matt? Oh, I should introduce my compatriot,
Pastor Matt Clark, Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark from Ascension Lutheran in St. Louis. And John, you look a little paranoid.
Well, you know, today's the day we're going to blow the cover off of Big Kale, and I'm thinking that something might happen. You know, power might go out, the lights might go out, darkness.
Did anyone follow you?
Well, that's what I'm concerned. I've been kind of looking over my shoulder. I didn't see anybody following me. But, okay, let's get it out there, because once it's out there, there's nothing they can do to us, is there? Is there, Matt? Once we've made it public. There we go.
They can't stop it once it's on the airwaves.
That's right.
And so, I really have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, no, so here's the thing. And by the way, I'm not making this up. I hope people understand that when you came and gave us the list of the top 10 fears,
yes,
even though number 9 was zombies, you got this from some reputable source,
yes,
right? Didn't you say some university?
College. Yeah, I think it was Chapman University, if I remember
well,
right.
Well, there you go. That's what our college kids are worried about, zombies. So this is the honest to God's truth, because, you know, kale's the big deal. McDonald's is even going to start having a kale shake or something. I'm not sure. I just read that they're going into the whole kale thing. So now we're finding out that you get thallium poisoning from kale.
Oh, really?
Well, apparently it's like a thallium sponge. If you had a acre of land that was polluted with thallium, you would plant kale and it would just soak all that thallium out of the ground. And so now they're reporting that people who eat a lot of kale are kind of lethargic and they have headaches and stuff, which are all the symptoms of thallium poisoning.
Oh,
so be careful. You know, it was just like I said, tobacco is good for you. Oh, kale's good for you. But apparently, no, too much kale, like anything, can make you sick. But here's the key thing,
mm-hmm,
and then we'll
mm-hmm.
move on to Bible passage number 6, right?
Yes.
Favorite Bible passage number 6. Did we announce that this is
Wrestling with the basics? I think they figured it out.
Okay. Because I want people to know that there is one food you can eat, and there's absolutely no thallium. You can eat as much of this, and you have no worry about any kind of thallium poisoning. And, of course, you know the food I'm talking about.
I think I do.
What is it?
Is it bacon?
It's bacon. It's bacon. So stick with bacon, people. You are safe. You are safe as long as you're eating bacon, but be careful of the kale.
Safe with bacon.
That might be their new slogan. You're safe with bacon.
Wait, it's been a while since we've cooked some up during the show. We're going to have to bring that back. I missed that.
Bring the frying pan back in. It's so distracting, though. It smells so good.
I know it.
See, it smells good, and it's good for you.
Oh, you can't beat it.
We're coming up with all kinds of slogans.
I know.
The bacon people ought to pay us money.
They need to pay for protection for us now from Big Kale.
From Big Kale. So what are we doing? We got another passage. And
of course, you're
not going to tell us what the passage is. You want to keep us in suspense.
That's right. I'm going to, we want to be, you know, keep people listening. Keep them tuned in.
That's right. Because if they heard the passage right away, they'd know what they need to know about kale. They know
exactly.
The passage.
Yeah. If they're still listening at this point, then I think hopefully they're going to stick with us if they haven't tuned.
It is an Old Testament passage.
It is.
Is that giving away too much?
No. It's an Old Testament passage, and this one is near and dear to my heart because it's my wedding verse too.
So is that right?
This is one of the readings that was read at mine and Lisa's wedding, and it's the verse was actually preached on by the pastor who was our path. We both went to the same church, our Savior out in Fenton. And
we're not to suspect that there might be some jury rigging here, huh? Some ballot stuffing
in the ballot box
to get this into the top 10?
Because these top 10 are coming from the congregation I serve
at. That's
their
choice.
I got to vote too, but only once. Only once.
Okay, not like in Chicago.
I did vote for this one.
Did you?
Okay. I'll be honest.
Very good.
But anyway.
All right.
Yeah, so wait, this is legit. This really was one of the top 10, and I was happy to see it, to get an opportunity to preach on it, because it comes from a book of the Bible that I don't think we preach on all that often.
Not much. I hardly ever preach on this book of the Bible.
Yeah, so this is the book of Proverbs. I'm going to give that away.
Oh, okay. Wow, we're getting closer.
Watch out.
Okay.
I know. the book of Proverbs. So it really doesn't come up much in our preaching and the lectionary. You know, we follow that for our readings most of the time, at least. It doesn't come up. So, you know, just a little bit on the book of Proverbs. What I love about the Bible, one of the things, is that it's chock full of all kinds of types of writing, right? There's narratives and the gospels about Jesus' life and history. There's poetry like the Psalms that we looked at last week.
What are Proverbs?
It's a whole thing to itself. I guess it would fall under the writings portion of the Old Testament, and I would classify it as wisdom literature.
Ah, okay.
So here in the book of Proverbs are these, much of the book are wise sayings, especially after chapter 9. You kind of get in these short little sayings of wisdom, and they're edifying, they're good. Much of the book of Proverbs was written by Solomon. So Solomon, remember, he's the one that you know, asks for wisdom and understanding heart, you know, from the Lord. And God, you know, it does give him that and is very pleased that he asked for it. So Solomon writes much of the book of Proverbs. And today's reading in particular from Proverbs chapter 3.
Wow, you're getting so close.
I know. It's a little faster than usual, I know. So Proverbs 3, we're not quite to the verse yet, but just read verse 1 of Proverbs 3. I think it sets the scene
so this
for
isn't
the whole
the favorite
chapter.
Verse.
No, this is not the
this
famous verse.
This is just
verse,
the
favorite
setup.
Verse. This
okay.
is just still me babbling on setting the scene.
Okay. Well, because otherwise, you know, I would have to play this sound effect.
You know, when you're telling these little stories, here's a good idea.
But I don't need to do that this week.
Because
we're getting right at it. Right at it.
Yeah, that's right.
Except for the stupid sound effects I'm playing. 3 verse 1.
Your itchy sound effect finger.
My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace, they will add to you. Okay.
Yeah, well, I just think that's so, it's very personal. Addressed my
it
son.
Is.
It's like a father.
Is this actually addressing his son then?
Yeah, it's like a father or a parent addressing their child. Yeah.
Okay.
And certainly their the child, but you know, all who read this, I would say. But I think it gives us an opportunity to pause and think, okay. You know, as a parent and you as a grandparent too, what do we want to pass on to our son or to our daughter, to our grandchild? What piece of wisdom in this literature do we want to be sure to impart to the next generation?
And I think it was neat that your pastor wanted to pass it on to you and your wife.
Yeah,
for the beginning of your marriage, that you might also then pass it on to your children too.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. So, I don't know, you have any insights, anything you want to make sure you pass on to the next generation?
Well, I just want to emphasize again that keep my commandments business, because, again, we hear that as obedience, and actually it's a much, much richer word. It means to treasure something, to hold on fast to it. Don't let it go, because it's really important to you. And I'm wondering what the word commandment there is. Is it Torah? Is it the law? Is it the revelation of God in general? Did you check that out? But I would be willing to bet a lot of times when it says commandments, it's not talking about the Ten Commandments, but it's actually talking about the entirety of what God has revealed in the Old Testament.
Yeah. Yeah, very good. To simply pass on God's word, I would say.
Exactly.
And what
the Lord
has revealed to us. Yeah, the scriptures. As we continue, here is what one of the key things that this writer of Proverbs wants to pass on to the next generation. And it comes in verses 5 and 6. And here's the verses, our favorite passage, number 6, that I wanted to, that we want to focus on today. So if you could read Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6.
Okay, this is the passage. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths.
Yeah, thanks.
So
number six okay. in our countdown. And I think, good things, good words to pass on to the next generation, that trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding.
And again, like last week, we've got Lord with all four capitals. So this is the God that created the world. This is the God that named Adam and Eve. This is the God who sent us our Savior Jesus.
Yeah.
This is the Father, right?
This is Yahweh, the Lord, that personal name of God. No other God has that name but that one true God.
No generic Elohim here.
No.
No, this is the one true God.
Yes. Yes. Definitely. And that's good to point out. And to talk about a trust in him, and that word trust here could be translated to feel safe or to have confidence, this safety, this confidence, this trust in the Lord. Go ahead.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, that's a strange word there, trust, because I think, especially as Lutherans, I'm sorry, we're Lutherans, please bear with us. It's what God has called you to do, right? And love, bear with one another. Because I think as Lutherans, right away, we want to put faith in there, right?
Because
we're justified by faith.
Sure.
But it's interesting that in the Septuagint, the Greek version, they don't ever use the word faith for that
for
that
this
term.
Instance, yeah.
It's actually hope is used a lot.
Yeah.
In the Greek vocabulary for this, this Hebrew word, trust. Yeah.
It's a good insight. That hope, that security, that trust, that safety in the Lord. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the idea. I'm safe here.
That faith,
with the Lord.
Confidence. Yeah, definitely. So that trust, that safety in the Lord, you know, and that trust with all of our heart. And I think we read that on the surface. And we say, oh, okay, well, that's okay. I got it. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, thanks, God. Good advice. But then I think when we see those words with all of our heart, right?
Yeah, I was afraid you were going to bring that up.
I'm happy to trust in the Lord, have security, confidence in him. Yeah. But also, money's pretty good, too. I want to make sure I've got that.
Are you alluding to this might be a first commandment kind of thing about thou shalt have no other gods before me?
Exactly.
Oh,
because it's not,
because
we always want to add an and to this verse.
I think.
You know, trust in the Lord with all your heart and your planning and foresight or your education. Or,
and your good looks.
And, speak for yourself, Joe.
I am. I was.
That's good. Oh, sheesh. So, exactly. You know, it goes back to the first commandment, which talks about you shall have no other gods. And that meaning, which is so succinct from the catechism, fear, love, and trust in God above all things. You know, to trust, there's that word again, to trust in God above all things.
And you know what else is neat about this word trust? Almost every time the Bible uses it, it also tells you what you shouldn't trust. And it tickles me because that's what we got in this text, too. You know, it never just says trust in God, but it says trust in God rather than something else. And we got that here, too.
Yeah. Lean not on your own understanding.
There you go.
So, you know, I was with our men's club over at Ascension, and I don't know how this came up, but we were talking about a commercial from TV. And maybe you've seen it, but it's a State Farm commercial, and you've got this guy going out with his buddies, and he's partying, and he tells his buddies, "I'm never going to get married."
Then the
next scene, he's with his wife. He's putting on the engagement ring on his wife, and then the next scene, he and his wife are on this plane together. They hear this baby crying, and he says, "We're never going to have kids." In the next scene, his wife's giving birth. You know, and it goes on and on. You know, he tells his wife, "We're never going to get a minivan." Next scene, he's washing the minivan. So, it's just that idea that, you know, I think we can relate to that commercial. That's why it's so popular. You know, this guy's leaning on his own understanding, especially when it comes to his future, thinking that he knows what's best or when it's best, and we do the exact same thing. That's why we can laugh at it. And instead, no, it's the trust in the Lord, not a leaning on our own understanding.
And I like the phrase you use there, "we know best," because that's kind of the sense of the Hebrew word there, too. It's like, we've had the experiences, we've got the knowledge, we're going to put it to application. Yeah, we really do have things in control, which, of course, is exactly when you're going to start having real problems.
Yeah.
Not that we don't have problems all the time, but you have real problems when you, as you said, as the Bible says, lean on your understanding.
Yeah.
Think you're going to figure it out.
Yeah. Exactly. You know, and it leads to problems. So a trust in the Lord when those problems do arise, sometimes those problems of our own causing, but to trust in the Lord at all times, whether the times are good or bad, whatever the case may be, to trust in the Lord.
And yet it's so hard for me to do. Because I really do think that it is up to me, that I've got to figure it out. I've got to come with some kind of solution. In fact, that's why I've got the problem, because I just haven't figured out the right thing to do yet. And once I do, I'm sure the Lord will agree with me and everything will go along just the way it should be. Yeah.
But to trust, not our own understanding. And, you know, and I think why I guess the next question perhaps is, you know, why trust in the Lord? You know, why him? Why not ourselves? Why not something else? Why in him? And I think because he is trustworthy. He has proved to be trustworthy. Yeah. There's an speaking of all these top 10 lists and stuff, there I came across another list that is this company put together, and it's a list of 3,000 celebrities. Not just 10.
You're not going to read them 3,000. All, are you?
Number 3,000 is. No, yeah. I won't read them all. But the reason they have these 3,000 celebrities rated in terms of their trustworthiness.
Ah, okay.
And the reason they do this is...
Are we on that list?
We should be, shouldn't we? I'm sure we're near the top.
Okay.
That's surely the top 100.
I'll check that out after the show. Yeah. So anyway, I'm sorry. So their trustworthiness, they're rated in terms of trustworthiness. Well, not how much you like them, but how trustworthy they are.
And it kind of makes sense. So if a company wants someone to endorse their product, a celebrity, how trustworthy are they?
Yeah, go to people.
Are they good to have speak for you or not? You want someone who's trustworthy. So you have this list. It kind of fascinates me. So high on the list are guys like Tom Brokaw, Duchess Kate Middleton, Morgan Freeman. They seem
Bill Cosby,
trustworthy
Bill
enough.
Bill Cosby probably not high on the list anymore.
Well, that's what I was going to get to. Yeah? Guess who used to be at the number five
You're
spot?
You're kidding me. Bill Cosby?
Bill Cosby used to be number five.
Is that right?
But in recent months, he's dropped to number 2,746.
But he's a celebrity. He's a celebrity.
He's a celebrity.
But not a trustworthy celebrity. Okay.
Well, he's still on the list. Yep. He didn't drop below 3,000, which I don't know who's below him. But anyway, that's the thing. You know what for decades, you know, Bill Cosby, you know, kind of cast himself as America's dad and his granddad and talked to people about moral responsibility. And now here he is. He's fallen out of the trust of people. He's not trustworthy. But that's not how the Lord is. The Lord, unlike Bill Cosby.
Is the Lord on the list?
The Lord should be on the
list. He should have been on
the list.
He
wasn't number one, though.
No,
Tom Hanks was number one.
Oh, you're kidding me. If you knew the thing... Boy, we'll have to start doing an expose on Tom Hanks now that we're done with Big Kale.
I didn't put the list together.
Okay, well, we'll take care of that. Go ahead.
No, so the point being... The Lord's never going to slip in his ranking. No, he is number one.
Yep.
He is trustworthy. And you just look back.
Even if we don't think he is, that's what's
exactly.
Neat.
And you just look back on his word. And those times where it seems impossible to trust him, it seems illogical to trust him, yet he follows through. God was trustworthy when he told Noah to build an ark, and there was absolutely no rainfall. And he kept his promise. And he just go through the list.
He said, I want you to cross over that Red Sea between these two mighty walls of water. And I think, what?
Exactly.
The wind's keeping them apart. What if the wind stops? But he was trustworthy there.
Yeah. Well, and then they get to the other side. And after some wilderness wanderings, they're supposed to march around Jericho 7 days.
Yeah.
And the walls are just going to fall down on their own.
Yep.
You know, but he does it. He carries through. He's trustworthy. He tells a virgin she's going to have a son. Guess what?
She it has happens. A son.
He's trustworthy. Jesus, again and again, I'm going to die, but on the third day I'm going to rise, tells his disciples time and again. Guess what?
Come down to the tomb. Tomb is empty.
The tomb is empty. Again and again.
I'm going to put you on the spot, though.
Okay.
John the Baptist gets his head chopped off, head presented on a platter. Where was your trustworthy Lord there, huh? Huh? John was... Of all the men born of women, he was the greatest there is. So where was the trustworthy Lord in that?
Yeah.
Where was the trustworthy Lord in all the people right now? My dear friend Rufus, who had to go into surgery a second time. Where is the Lord in all of that?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, don't just look at me. I'm asking a question.
My answer would be, if the Lord promises it, it's trustworthy.
Yeah.
He didn't promise John that he wouldn't be decapitated. He hasn't promised us that we're not going to ever need surgery or that we're never going to have cancer. He doesn't give us those promises, but he does promise that in the midst of those things, he's going to be with us.
Yeah.
He promises that there's salvation for those who believe in his son, and he keeps those promises. He is trustworthy. But that's, and I think that's the challenge here. That's why we're so tempted to add something to that trust. When the trusting gets kind of tough and when life gets difficult, it's tempting to think that maybe the Lord isn't quite enough. Maybe I need to put trust in something else. But no, No, his promises are trustworthy.
And then we're back leaning on our own understanding.
Exactly.
Either thinking, like you said, that, well, we need more than the Lord, or thinking that, well, maybe we need to do something. Maybe this is a punishment, or maybe we even need to trust in the Lord more. Maybe that's the problem. Whereas the call is simply, you're secure. I love the fact that you pointed that out. The word trust is not the word faith here. It is the word be secure. Yeah. And we are secure in the God. So John the Baptist dies. Guess where John the Baptist is today?
Yeah.
He's in the glories of heaven.
Yeah.
Trust me, he would not want to come back to this world again. He's got everything that God promised him in his word. He was trustworthy to John the Baptist. Yeah.
But I'm glad you bring that up, because we don't want to make light of this or make it sound like, hey, well, trust is really easy, you know, just get to it, you know. No, it's sometimes difficult. And I like how you pointed out, too, it's a trust in the Lord. It's not a trust in our strength of trust.
Yes.
You know, that
yes.
would be making our trust into a false god.
That's
you
right.
know? No, it's like the object of our trust. It's in the Lord. So I think one verse that speaks to this, too. Now I'm going to the New Testament, 1 Timothy. You know, Paul writes saying and says, the saying is trustworthy. I like that word. Trustworthy.
There it is. Yep.
Deserving full acceptance that Jesus Christ came to the world to save sinners.
Oh, yeah.
And that's ultimately what our trust is in, that trustworthy promise. That's deserved a full acceptance that Jesus Christ came to this world to save sinners.
And that's, gosh, Matt, that's such a wonderful passage because, when I am facing the surgery and I am facing the difficulties, I begin to think, oh, I guess I'm not good enough, you know. But that's the beauty of the thing. No, that's exactly when you can trust the Lord. When you think you're good enough, when you're relying on your own understanding and you think you got it made, that's when you really ought to be worried.
Yeah.
But when you're having your doubts and when you're having your struggles, no, that's precisely the time you can trust in the Lord, because that's what he did. He came for sinners. That's who he came for.
Yeah.
That does not disqualify you from his security and his care.
Yeah. Because as I brought up, this was in our wedding, this verse, and I'm looking back now on 13 years of marriage and thinking to myself, you know, I haven't always been trustworthy. And there's been times, when I haven't been a trustworthy person. And there's times when, my trust in the Lord has been fledgling. But the comfort is that God is trustworthy. He always keeps his promises. And that chief promise of salvation in Jesus Christ, that saying that's trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that he came to save sinners, myself included. And that's something that we can have that full trust in, come what may.
That's the thing. Yeah, he's the trustworthy one. We're not the trustworthy ones.
Yeah.
And that's why we trust in the Lord and not on our own understanding.
Yeah.
But what's the business, though, in this next verse, "and all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths"? Anything particular in that?
Well, I would just say, how do we acknowledge the Lord? Well, we acknowledge him by coming to him in prayer. We acknowledge him by reading his word. We acknowledge him by listening to the rest of the basics on a Saturday morning to be strengthened through his word and spirit, right?
You want to put wrestling with the basics in the same category as prayer and listening? Okay.
Acknowledge it. Well, the word is present, so the spirit's at work even in spite of us. So.
There you go. Yeah. That's right.
Anyway.
So lean not on our understanding either.
Yeah, that's right. Don't lean on John and Matt's understanding. But to acknowledge the Lord is to seek first his kingdom, to be in prayer and worship and his word, to acknowledge him. And if you're in his word, if you're acknowledging him, I love how this verse ends with that promise, then he will make your paths straight. And I think of, another psalm, Psalm 119, verse 105. His word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. It makes our paths straight.
Well, thank you, Matt. And next week we'll have favorite Bible verse number 5. I won't even tempt you to share what it is. We'll find out.
Oh, can't drag it out.
Next
not
week.
Even wild horses. Not even bacon.
Oh, wow. Well, thank you for reminding us that we can trust in the Lord.